Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, tuning in for Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We're going to get started here. We had a little technical difficulty, but we have our host on the show at this time, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM listeners. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation to the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, along with Najwa Abdul-Tuwa and Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. And I want to say that we have Sister Najwa Abdul-Tuwa with us every first Wednesday until the end of this year. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, if this is your first time tuning in, we want you to know that this learning lab goes all the way back to the end of January, the year being 2017. So we're fast approaching the fifth anniversary of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And inshallah, we say, God willing, that we make it to our fifth year. We're looking at having a special acknowledgement of the fifth anniversary of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We also want to remind you that this is your learning lab, where we teach what is correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And before I introduce our co-host and co-facilitator, Najwa Abdul-Tuwa, just want to state some staples that we have established in the Learning Lab. In following the lead of our beloved leader, Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, when he said to us, in definition is direction. And we want to also add correction to that too, as we gave a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility that not only the mother but also the father have in these various components that comprise the holistic life of the human being. We also have established on the Learning Lab that the role and responsibility is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And we say inshallah, which simply means if it's God's will, that having that mindset and disposition and consciousness of our role and responsibility, that some world leaders will emerge. We also have established, outside of Allah being the first teacher to all of his human creation, he's given the honor and distinction to our women as mothers to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but our baby boys, and also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, have said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that she would be the one that would give the foundational knowledge not only to our baby girls, but our baby boys. And so with that being said, as always, we'd like to introduce our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and a co-facilitator each and every Wednesday, our beloved Sister Nadra Abdul Tawab. Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Nadra.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. How are you? Good to hear
I'm
you
always go. Amped up on Wednesday. I got a little slight headache, but I'm doing fine. You know, was able to get on. You know, I guess everything is always a test, and everything. So we are thankful. Always we say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks for Allah to first and foremost for blessing us to be here this first Wednesday in the month of November, which is the month of Thanksgiving. Yes, ma'am. So we will get right into the learning lab, and I want to say to our radio listening audience that to be able to reassess and get the last production, you can go to IIWDM and you can type that in, and you can also be able to obtain that by going back to last Wednesday, I believe it was October 27th, if I'm not mistaken, last Wednesday, October 27th, and you type in the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and you'll be able to listen to its entirety in terms of some of the highlights and all. As last Wednesday, with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, was talking about the unhappy voice out of the outstanding publication of Dr. John C. Maxwell. And we are on the last of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, which is vision. And Dr. Maxwell was giving commentary in terms of the unhappy voice. And so we talked about how unhappiness, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad many, many years ago had the title on Muhammad Speaks, that 100% dissatisfaction brings about a change. You always have to have vision to bring about change and positive change in your life. And sometimes the unhappy voice will help to bring about change that would be positive and be beneficial. We can never have progression in our life if, in fact, that we are just satisfied and complacent, whereas it doesn't necessarily would facilitate that we have to make a change for better. So there was some good commentary that was made by Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and myself. And so to get it in its entirety, please go back to IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and get that production in its entirety. I want to say to our radio listening audience, those of you who listen by way of the Internet, we also would love for you to participate. If this is your learning lab, if you want to ask a question or make a comment or anything that you hear Nadra Abdul Tawab make a comment that she may make or myself, you'll have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673, and press 1, and our engineer Rashid Salam will inform me that you have your hand up and will come right to you. So with that being said, Sister Nadra, what do we have this week from the publications? Once again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Well, this week we are moving on to the successful voice. And we're following the thread from the unhappy voice. It's very brief. I'll read it. Where does inspiration for great ideas come from? from noticing what doesn't work. And then from that statement, I'd like to move to the successful voice. Nobody can accomplish great things alone. To fulfill a big vision, you need a good team. But you also need good advice from someone who is ahead of you in the leadership journey. If you want to lead others to greatness, find a mentor. You have an advisor who can help you sharpen your vision. And Mark, after I read and thought about that, yes, I agree with the whole notion of concept of having a good team. And for us as Muslims, when you say the word team, I think of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, and his team, the Sahaba, or companions. And if you are a Christian and you think of Prophet Jesus, then your mind would automatically go to the 12 disciples. So I think our conversation today will be easy for both Christians and Muslims and people of faith to follow if you keep that in mind, that the good leader, the person who cares and really wants to make the change, especially as the prophet would do in a class that I'm teaching, talking to the children about the things that get on our hearts, either worry or wonder, how can we change and make a difference? And I pose that question to our listening audience, including the children. What is it that's on your heart that really makes you itch, so to speak, so badly? This is an itch you can't get rid of unless you put your mind on doing something to make a change. And as a Muslim, I will go back to the second surah in the Quran, Surah Baqarah, which really sets the stage, because before you can have a leader, you must have the leader. And for people of faith, that is God. So we've got to think about God, the creator, his role, what he expects of anyone who's going to accept the challenge to do his work. And in Surah 2, and I will read starting with Ayat 2, the second verse. This is the scripture in which there is no doubt. So the leader has to believe that mission and vision, there's no doubt in it. This is the right thing. This is the way to go. And we must believe that there has to be guidance, because we can't see. We cannot figure it out figuratively or physically without the guidance, knowing the direction, whether it be a compass, whether it be responding to someone's voice, whether it be responding to signs in creation, things that are around us. And who are these people? Who is this leader? It's the person who is mindful of God. And I do believe, even though you might not hear a lot of these terms in the actual work of leaders today, believing in a bigger mission, something bigger than you, having complete confidence in it. And for us, for people of faith in God, and we know, we acknowledge, we accept that we are to get guidance from this source, and that in order for us to be successful, we have to constantly be mindful of our relationship with the Creator, with God. And then we begin to find the ways by responding to the signs or the hints that we then pass on to our team. And I will speak more. We will speak more about the relationship.
Yes. No, that's excellent. You know, Sister Naja, that's excellent. You know, what it is that you've given. I know last week was the unhappy voice, the happy voice, but then vision can actually come through in terms of inspiration. I think it was last week I was giving what it is Imam Muhammad had taught us as students in terms of actually how revelation come in three different ways. One through inspiration, and also from behind the veil, behind, you know, things that are instructing signs, if you will, in the creation, as speaking to Musa, the burning bush, as the allegorical, metaphorical narrative in the Quran and Scripture, but also through prophets and messengers. So our children, to relate that, is we as adults, and I'm quite sure all of us at some point have had inspiration from God. I was just this past week helping my brother who writes a Motivational Monday, he calls it, as he sends out a motivational message. And his was titled that when you get a blessing, run to share it. When you get a blessing, run to share it. And so, do we look at inspiration? And this is not spooky, because I know that most callers that are God conscious, that God has inspired them. Now, for me, usually inspiration comes early in the morning. For me, when it's very, very quiet, and you're reflecting on God's word of revelation, the Quran, inspiration can come to you. That is truly a blessing. And, it came through the Prophet Muhammad, which all prophets, they bring two things. They bring admonition in terms of warning, but they also bring the bashar, which is the good news. And so when we see and understand that, we have to embody that. But as we raise our children, as this is parenting and family reconstruction learning lab, this will obviously help us as parents to convey that message to our children. And so the more we speak about Allah as the creator and what it is that he has given to us, not only in terms of the tangible things, but the intangible things, the non-material things, and see those things also as blessings and point those things out to our children, this helps and aid and assist in the growth and development of our children, which is so very, very important, where they love the Creator even more when ideas come to their mind and they hear us speak with the happy voice, the happy voice. Yeah. And we talk to them about, oh, Mom, you got a smile on your face, and we share with them something that God has blessed us with. Dad, you got a smile on your face. We should have these type of conversations. We should have this type of communication and share the information. And not only that, we should want to share it with other members of the family. So, when Dr. Maxwell, he's approaching it, from a organizational, corporate or organization platform, but we can look at that in terms of the happy voice, in terms of the group setting being the family. Once upon a time, everything was shared with family members in terms of helping to raise our children. They got that they had the happy voice of the grandparents in addition to having the parents, but the grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, the extended family. This is so very, very important when we're talking about raising our children. Raising them is one to raise them in consciousness to a higher consciousness of the importance and the significance of family life. And so by sharing this with them, they'll have a greater appreciation for family, and then they will become contributors to the growth and development of the individuals that comprise the family life. This is so very, very important. The happy voice has to be heard when we're thinking about helping to create the type of vision and inspiration to be inspired. We can be inspired by others by them just sharing what it is that God has blessed them with. I often do it, and sometimes the inspiration is so great that our Lord and Creator gives to us, we want to share it immediately. You know, Nadra, I don't know if you remember this old spiritual hymn. My family was Baptist, but they used to have a hymn, and I can't really sing. I couldn't hold a note if you glued it to me, but it went like, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody but I. And then the choir was said, couldn't keep it to myself. Okay, so
what
am I saying?
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. And so we want to hear the happy voice. The happy voice always is needed and necessary and imperative in terms of helping to shape and to form the vision that we want our children to have. And the more we share with them what we've been inspired with and given the acknowledgement and given the praise and thanks to the Creator in regards to that, then our children will see also that is a blessing. And so a blessing is not truly a blessing until they share it with others. And so I told my brother that the running, you know, actually implicates and insinuate an anxiety, an enthusiasm, an urgency, an emergency to be able to get when you receive it, you want to be able to give it immediately to someone. And you always are thinking about those persons that need it the most or can really appreciate what it is that you're sharing with them. So I just wanted to say that, Sister Nadja, I want to say to our radio listening audience that if you just tune in late, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our beloved Sister Nadja Abdul-Tawab. And if you have a question or comment on anything that Sister Nadja may say or myself tonight, we do invite you to press 1, as this is your learning lab. Hopefully you brought your pen and pad, taking some good notes tonight. We'd like to hear from you, and those of you who may listen in each and every week that may not say anything, I'm quite sure Nadja and myself would love to hear from you. You can do that by pressing 1 if what we're saying tonight on the learning lab is resonating with you. Back to you, Sister Nadja.
Yes. Mark, when you mentioned that, this happy voice, and when I think of making children happy, not spoiling them, but teaching them in a way that's going to bring joy and love and laughter, because so often people will say that a child's work is adult play. And if we introduce our children to our religion in a way that relates to their soul and the nature in which they were created, I believe we will have a greater opportunity to produce the types of leaders that we're all hoping for to lead us not just across the street, but to lead us in every aspect of world affairs. And I did some research. There was a Muslim educator, Avicenna, born in the 10th century. He was not only an educator, but a medical doctor, and he emphasized the need for children to learn not only the Quran, but in a way that would encourage them to be devout, to be able to think right and wrong, to use the logic of the Quran, and also to be ethical and moral. And again, these are all qualities that we're looking for in our people who are leaders, whether it's in the political realm, medical realm, business, education, religion. These are things that we want in terms of how we're being treated. So we have to model these qualities with our children. And as we do that, we hope to see that not only does a child grow physically from that little baby, that infant, that clot, that seed, but spiritually and morally too. And this whole preparation for leadership and being happy and finding your best voice, your best self, is just a great way to prepare our children to make a lasting contribution to society. So that's what we've got to think, not these short stops and starts. But we're trying to get our children to understand, and parents, you know, your work is not finished until it's done. And if we all think about somebody in our lives who had us stay with a task until it was finished, these were the life lessons that stayed with us. You don't have to do this or have to do that, but when you do it, you complete it with ihsan, with excellence, with the best that you can do it. And how do you learn that? Show. You have to show your child. You have to show. You can't just say do this or do that, but take the time. Don't rush so much, but take the time to show the right way to do the things that need to be done. And that's what the Prophet did with Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with him. He showed him. He spoke to him. He gave guidance to him. He gave hints to him. And then he was blessed to have different Sahaba or companions who sometimes would say, oh, Muhammad, you are maybe too easy. You're too soft. It was his heart, such a tender heart. And I find that as I reread many of the lectures of Imam Muhammad. He just loved us, his people, so, so very much. And we need to be about maybe a family conversation. So what are the things that you did today that helped you to be the best within yourself? To get our children to think, you know, beyond, I played, I did my math problems, number 3 through 5, but to engage them in some deep, you know, critical conversations that will encourage our children to think about their actions. So those are another set of thoughts I'd like to share with our listening audience. What do you think,
Mark? Yeah, those are some excellent excellent points that you're making. I would say very, very sharp points, Sister Nigel, when you were speaking, and that it always reminded me of a little poem that my grandmother gave me. I'm quite sure that many probably could relate to it, where my grandma used to say, if once a task has begun, never leave it until it's done. Be the task, big or small, do it well or not at all. And I always shared that with my children, and also that there's good, better, and best. And never give it a rest until your good becomes your better and your better becomes your best. So, you know, in terms of these little quips that I was brought up on, and I thank Allah for my mother, my family, my grandparents, and especially my grandmother, who only went to the 5th grade in the Mississippi school. But she had a lot of wisdom that she shared with us, and particularly myself, because I was taking it all in. I remembered those things, and as I began to grow more in knowledge, I had a greater appreciation for what it was that she was trying to convey. But this helps in the growth and development of our children in terms of them having a better vision, and that they have a responsibility and an accountability for what it is that they have learned and what it is that they can and will actually do with that knowledge or that wisdom or what it is that they understand, that there's a responsibility and accountability for the usage of that and putting it into good use. Very, very, very important. And so we always want to speak to our children as much as we possibly can. I want to say this with a happy voice, whereas that now our children can become in tune with us and always directing them to why it is that we actually are happy. You know, we should be happy about the life that Almighty God has chosen for us. You went to Surah Baqarah, which is the second surah, or for those who don't know, the second chapter of the Quran, where it's that we all need guidance in our life. In Surah Baqarah, after Aleph, Lam, Mim, which are mystical letters there, God tells us as we ask for guidance from the Al-Fatiha, Indina Sirata Mustaqim, guide us on the straight path. We want to be on the straight path. We don't want to be on a crooked path, nor do we want to be crooked. And God has said that there's no crookedness in this book, and that is the book. In it is guidance, sure. It's sure guidance. It's not any doubt. So, you know, when you think about any book that we ever read, I don't care how much information it was in it, I never, you know, when I could read, never read a book outside of the Quran that began, you understand, so early on in the book in saying that if you're looking for guidance, this you got the right book. Got the right book in your hand here. It is guidance, sure, without doubt, for those who are consciously regardful of their Lord and Creator. Now, this becomes a prerequisite, and this is why it is that we have to impart upon our children so early on, Sister Najwa, that when we show them that we're consciously regardful of God's Word, His will and His way for us to live, and we exemplify that, now we are teaching our children, you know, that this is a prerequisite to be able to get that guidance. And guidance, sure. I mean, no doubt in it. There's no doubt in it. You know, we don't have to doubt what it is that we read in the Quran. We may not understand all of it, and we won't understand all of it. But there should be no doubt we should believe what it is. And in our du'as, in terms of praying and asking God, we should be asking God to bless us with greater knowledge, more wisdom and insight and understanding, because we want to get home with that. And we want our children to be able to understand. But the niyyah, the intention, is very, very important, and we should be conveying that to our children too, that they should always have pure intention and motivation to be the best that they can be, because the Creator has created us in the best of mold. This all helps to shape and form the vision of how our children should see themselves, how we see ourselves, and how we see them, and we need to say that to them, so that we're always keeping the word of God, the word of revelation on their mind, keeping them thinking and reflecting on what God's word is, what God's will is for us, because we understand and recognizing that God has given our children a free will. And we see that early on, you know, Najwa, when the baby girl, the baby boy, they shake their head, no, I don't want that. I don't want them more. I don't want, you know, give me this, you know, what? We see that will beginning to develop and all, where they accepting some things and they're rejecting other things. But as they grow, you know, you talk about the morality. We want to see the morality in the emotionality, but we also want to see the morality in their rationality as they begin to reason and to begin to learn. We always got to keep that first and foremost. And as I say, the honor and distinction Almighty God has given that to the mother first and foremost. Nigel?
Absolutely. And I think, looking at the time, I'd just like for us to move on to the team. And with team, I'd like to make reference to the Sahaba, or companions. And then I also mentioned the disciples who were with Prophet Esau. And these were, meaning companions, who saw the Prophet, may Allah be pleased with him, and believed in him, as well as they themselves dying a Muslim. So, and that's a wonderful thing for us to return to our Creator as bearing witness that there is no God but God, and we acknowledge that Muhammad ibn Abdullah was his messenger, his prophet. So these are, again, some more things we need to be discussing with our children and making sure that on the day of judgment, they too have the answers to the questions that they'll be asked by their angels who are watching over them, so to speak. And we want to be sure that that word belief, you know, belief is so key. And how does belief develop? How does trust develop? And it's with that nurturing relationship, I think, of first between the mommy, the daddy, and the child.
Excuse me. Rashid, make sure that there is no lines open because we can hear in the background any noise, okay? Thank you. Please continue, Sister Nigel. I'm sorry.
Yes, that relationship, that bonding, so that our children, they actually do grow up believing that this person, my mommy, is not going to let me down.
Yes.
And it's amazing how children, Allah has created that relationship. So the child grows. The child is really a mirror of us and can see and feel our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But that love is still there. It keeps growing and growing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I think that can be very humbling to us as parents or relatives, that despite whatever mistakes or shortcomings we have, our children, God has placed that tenderness between parent and child, grandparent and child, aunt,
yes,
uncle, good friend, good neighbor, good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a commitment. We have a responsibility to guide and teach based on the guidance and the wisdom that we have received from our Creator. So just underscoring what we have to do. It happens. Osmosis is there. It goes in. We cannot determine what the outcome will be. Why? Because it's already been determined. You know, as I talk to myself and friends and children, family, you know, do the very best you can. Be aware of that you must do the best that you can. But it's been written. It's been written. We cannot change an iota of what has been determined by God. But believe in God, have faith, and do everything to strive like we're in a race. This is a race when we look and hear what's going on in the world today. Where can we go for cover? What's going to happen next? Seeking refuge with Allah, seeking refuge with God is our only salvation. So I wanted to get that point across, the companion.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's a very valuable point that you make. I think in addition to that, Nadja, it also has to be said, to our children that we are a unique creation. And, you know, we have to say to them that Allah, the Creator, has given us a free will. You see, so
yes.
The day of judgment, Imam Muhammad said, it's a day of accountability. There are some things that we don't have any control, but there are some things that Allah, in giving us free will, have given us the ability to choose certain things, you know, even to choose to accept or to reject His guidance. We just got through talking about that the Quran is the guidance. So we don't want to say to them, oh, well, you know, like in other religions, oh, well, He's already, give them a misconception, a perception as to who they are from the very inception or beginning, that we're sinners, born in sin, will sin, and all of that. That's not what our religion says. In terms of how it is that we will leave here, no, Allah does not reveal that to us, but that's a mercy. But we should make sure that we make it clear to our children mm-hmm. what it is that Allah has given to us in terms of giving us freedom and free will. The freedom mm-hmm. to be able mm-hmm. to think and the freedom to be able to act, but the accountability or what this purpose of life it is that we have, to give them a correct vision and let them know that, you know, what it is that we choose to do becomes a factor in terms of our destiny. You know, as we talk about, you know, Imam Muhammad said, words make people. We have to make sure that our young people know and understand the power of the word, that words are containers of ideas, and they have to, as the Imam said, select the things that go into your mind. This is the freedom that we have to select the things that go into our mind. Watch your words, because your words become your thoughts. And whatever the dominant thought that we have, that the thought becomes our actions. And we have to watch our actions, because actions that are repeated over and over again, they become our habits. And our habits determine the type of character that we will actually have. And then we have to watch our character, because every character has a destiny. So, you know, we want to have a good destiny, but it begins with the word. As Scripture has said, and as Imam Muhammad has said to us, that words make people. So, you know, in me teaching young people, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving our children the right and the proper word, the best word for the formation of the human being, the construction of the human being, for the reconstruct the destructive family life, is the word of revelation. The final word of revelation, the clear word of revelation, where there's no doubt in what it is that we are hearing. And that kind of leads us to, and we can talk a little bit and get your insight, Nadja, on the higher voice. We talked about the unhappy voice, talking about the happy voice, but there's a higher voice, Nadja. And so I know Dr. Maxwell made some comments on that, and so at this time, if you would mind reading that or sharing what it is that you have received from that book by Dr. John C. Maxwell on the higher voice and how that should impact our vision. Nadja?
Yes. Dr. Maxwell does say, although it's true that your vision must come from within, you shouldn't let it be confined by your limited capabilities. A truly valuable vision must have God in it, and that's what we've been talking about. Only He knows your full capacity? Have you looked beyond yourself, even beyond your own lifetime, as you sought your vision? If not, you may be missing your true potential and life's best for you. So that looking ahead, that higher voice, and when you think of God has to be, when I look at the success of people who are doing good to benefit others, somewhere in that mix, as the younger ones will say, God is there. Whether they come right out and say, God, Jesus, whatever, you know, it may be called, we have to acknowledge him. And a challenge for us as our children get older is that humility, that ego, and being willing to understand that you do have limitations. You can be given much more, but you must be humble in your pursuit of knowledge. I mean, and the advice is there are always consequences for every action. You can be arrogant. You can believe or think you know it all. And you might find that you can be in an ocean and just keep going and going and going. You see, look, nothing's going to happen to me. I just keep getting smarter and smarter, richer and richer. But believe me, for sure, this is being recorded and it's being noted. So sometimes it's a hard part to rein in our children, especially when they get a little bit older. You're not trying to stifle them or to break their spirit, but it's being aware of the reality that there is one who is higher than us all. And if you're wise, a word to the wise is sufficient. Respect and acknowledge God. Yes. And growing up, I know I was always reminded of that. And carried those beliefs with me. You know, looking out of my bedroom window, watching a leaf fall from the tree. Yeah, I could take a seed and plant it and maybe a tree would grow. But could I even create the seed? So there was always something that would show me that, yeah, I still had a lot to learn and that all the mysteries of the world had not yet been unlocked. And that's how great scientists, the thinkers, come about. They ponder on the mysteries of the unknown. My grandmother worked in the same town. She did day's work, but in Princeton, New Jersey. And when she would get off the bus, Albert Einstein would get on the bus. And one day they happened to just be at the same place at the same time. And someone came up to Albert and said, oh, you are a genius. You are so amazing. Oh, I can't believe it. And he looked at this person. He showed his pockets and his raincoat, pulled inside out. He pointed to his feet. He had mismatched socks on. He said, I am only a servant of God. Now, you don't hear that much, you know, in the books and all. But my grandmother said, he said, I am only a servant of God, and I know what I do know because of God. So if we can say that, surely, you know, we can't be afraid to acknowledge where the sources of knowledge come from. And look at what happened to Albert Einstein. He's in every science book across every country. So there are lessons in why and how we should always give credit and praise to the highest. Glory to Allah, God, the Most High.
Yes,
so
ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Well said. Yeah, I say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. That's excellent, excellent wisdom that you're sharing with us, Sister Naja. We're going to go to Rashid Salam to see if we have any callers with their hands up. Rashid, any callers with their hands up? I know I know it's piqued your interest, and I know you're always a great note taker and what. You might have a question or comment, Rashid.
Oh, no, I don't have one.
I did enjoy that last statement on Albert Einstein. It was kind of exciting. It got me thinking about some other things. But, no, I don't have any questions right now, nor are there any body with their hands up on the studio.
Okay, well, thank you so much. You know, this is just a man that went down in history for having an outstanding intellect in terms of inquisitiveness, curiosity. As Imam Muhammad said, the scientist is one who wants to see into this, and all. This is something that Sister Najis, you was speaking about that, we can point to those type of people who are historical figures and how they humbled themselves. And, you know, they were able to extrapolate so much from this natural creation and all, but it's rare that you hear scientists, you know, giving the praise and the glory and the thanks to the one that created it. You know, Imam Muhammad said even the scientist is a tool.
Yeah.
The one that's consciously regardful, know and realize that he is a tool as he brings the research, the discovery, the science in terms of what it is that he has uncovered and discovered in this vast, vast creation. But for most, little thanks do they give to the one that has created it. So that is a great sign of humility in Albert Einstein. And I, as you were speaking, I remember, and this has been many years ago, somebody conveying the same thing, story about Albert Einstein in terms of his humility and just seeing himself as a servant. And, Nadja, I think we can't underscore that word in terms of all this is pertaining to vision. We haven't left the topic of vision, of what
right.
It is that we need to impart and convey to our children, that you want to be the best servant that you possibly can. This is your main purpose why you were created. And take them to the Quran, take them to Surah 51-56. You know that we as human beings was created, you understand, to worship, to serve as a servant. And God has given us our purpose, and that to each one of us, he has given a unique purpose. In this higher voice, you know, Dr. Maxwell, he mentions, you know, in terms of this higher voice is needed and necessary for reaching your full capacity or realizing your full potential. Oh, we don't have enough time to really go into that. But, Nadja, you know, we got about another 4.5 minutes or so. But could you give our radio listening audience something in terms of this higher voice, in terms of how it is that we should be given our full attention, as Allah has said in the 94th surah of the Quran, when he says, "In the ma'ayuth or the yuthro," and he repeats it, through the difficult comes the ease or the relief, or through struggle comes the relief. It's tied to our belief. And then God goes on to say, after that, after you complete one task, immediately with no hesitation, reservation, procrastination, get into another and give your full attention, I paid attention to that, your full attention to Almighty God, Allah. This is very important for our young people to know, to give your full attention, because Allah will inspire you. He will send you messages in terms of guidance for your life, if in fact that you remember him. Najwa?
Yes. Well, in that revelation, that surah, God starts off by asking us, or specifically Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a question. Did we not relieve your heart, O Muhammad, O Prophet? had a burden on it, and didn't I help you to relieve this? So that automatically humbles us and puts us in a clear, clear position of Allah and servant, Allah and servant. And so why complain? I've removed your burden, very direct. In this book, there's guided shore, there's no doubt. And then we go on, and he's reminding us again, yes, life will be hard, there will be burdens, there will be things on us that will make us feel like we are literally carrying 100 tons of bricks on our back.
Yes.
So what? You won't be the first and you won't be the last. My grandmother would tell us that. No, you will not be the first and you will not be the last to have it hard. So what am I supposed to do? Well, I helped to inspire you. I gave you the signs. Look out the window. Talk to people. Look at that bird. Look at that poor animal that only has should have four legs but has three. You know, there are plenty of signs for you to see. So I give you the signs. I give you a burden. All of this is to show that you must come to me for help and guidance. You must come to me.
To me.
Why?
I'm the design.
Because
well,
I guarantee you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're right there at the top, right there at the top of the hour.
Yes,
ma'am. I know it, you know what, when you're having fun, the time just seems to pass away. But I want to go ahead and any parting remarks. We got about 30 more seconds or so. I want to give that to you, Sister Nadja. What would you like to leave our radio listening audience with, Nadja?
Just must continue. Do not give up. Look to our God, our Creator. Thank him every morning, any time of the day. Thank you for helping me to get this far. And what can I take from the lessons learned to do good for others? Go to the Quran, read it, seek guidance on how to help others. And
yes,
the
ma'am.
We'll eventually win through. Yes, we will.
Hey,
alhamdulillah. Excellent parting remarks from you, Nadja Abdul Tawab. And hopefully our radio listening audience have really benefited from the insight and the wisdom that you share with us each and every first Wednesday of the month here as the co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We do hope that you have benefited greatly from tuning in to this production and all. And we do ask that next time you come, don't come by yourself. Don't keep it a secret. You know that happy voice. You should be happy that now that you are hearing something that benefit you, it can benefit your family. So I'm asking you to share this information not only with your family, but with your friends, with your neighbors, your business associates, and also community members. Let them know about the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and we do invite you to bring it to the lab, and you can also correspond and communicate with us on bringittothelab@gmail.com. Yes, bringittothelab@gmail.com. You can befriend us on bringittothelab on our Facebook, as Quran always has posts on there, but it is for both of the learning labs, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also by Instagram, Bring It to the Lab. These are utilities have been provided with you to communicate with us outside of IWDM Radio. So once again, thank you so much, my dear Sister Nadja Abdul Tawab, for sharing with us the insight and wisdom that Almighty God Allah has blessed you with. And we'll be looking forward to the next month and the first Wednesday. As you know, it'll be a special time with us here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So, assalamu alaikum.
Hey, Mark, Before she
yes.
goes, can I say one thing to her? I like to extend the next hour to her on what your new guest is going to be. So I would suggest that she stay on for a little while longer.
Oh yes.
And this is the stuff.
Oh yes,
is the stuff
sir.
That I think
yeah, I think that she's going
to
really enjoy the guests I'm going to have at
yes.
the MGM roundtable
yes.
As an educator.
Way.
So. Please, I want to say, as I used to say, on AM 360 radio, Najwa Abdul-Tawwab, please stick and stay. Don't stray away.
Right.
As we get ready to transition to the next production here. So once again, assalamu alaikum, Najwa Abdul-Tawwab.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. And there you have it, the first hour here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed, every first Wednesday, co-host, Najwa Abdul-Tawwab. And we thank Allah for her, as next month will be her last production as the co-host and co-facilitator for the first Wednesday. So I'm looking to get somebody to fill those big shoes that she has. I want to say before I introduce our special guest for the MGM Roundtable to please tune in to the Sister Learning Lab, which is a courtship and marriage learning lab with our beloved Sister Quran Shakir. And that'll be tomorrow starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So with no further ado, as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that's heard each and every Wednesday night, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here. As I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And no different tonight as we have as one of our very distinguished, esteemed guests, our beloved brother Imam Abdul Shaheed. And he is a teacher of symptometry, a very insightful, blessed brother that will soon be a co-host on the new production here, looking at having this inaugural program November the 16th, which will be on a Tuesday evening, along with Rashid Salam, on the science of your health in you, the science of your health in you. We're really looking forward to this new production here on IWDM Radio. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our dear brother Imam Abdul Shaheed and my friend. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Abdul Shaheed.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Mark Shaheed, and all of the listeners on your radio broadcast. Can you hear
honor.
Me clearly?
Yes, we hear you very clear. You coming in loud and clear. It's an
Thank
honor
you.
To have you at the MGM Roundtable, Imam Abdul Shaheed, and this is your first appearance here on the Roundtable. And as I just gave a prelude to our radio listening audience, they can expect to hear your voice along with your co-host, Rashid Salam, each and every Tuesday. beginning with the inaugural a production here on the science of your health and you and all. And so I know that some of our radio listening audience is familiar with you from my sister station, AM 360 Radio.
Yes.
But I'm never presumptuous, you know, Imam Shaheed. And so I want to give you opportunity to introduce yourself. Who are you? And being a teacher of symptometry, what is symptometry? So, Brother Imam, if you would take a few minutes to introduce yourself to our radio listening audience. And once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. As-salamu alaikum.
Well, like I said, we certainly appreciate the opportunity for you to allow us to come on and share, because that's basically what we do, Brother Imam. We share information that we have been blessed to learn from symptometry. First of all, I'd just like to give a brief statement about how I got involved with symptometry and a little bit about my background, our background. You know, I was born in a small town in Alabama, believe it or not, born in Alabama. But oftentimes when I was in school, people would ask, where are you from? And I would tell them, I'm from the earth, you know. And that if you go back 300, 400 years, I might be from a place somewhere in Nigeria. Who knows?
Yes.
So, but we're a creature of the earth. The Almighty established us here on the earth. And we were born to be here. And we cannot overlook that. And we're able to deal with and mitigate anything on planet Earth. And the Almighty did not forget anything as far as our body is concerned. We cannot improve upon it. He created us perfectly. It is the creature housed inside that has the flaws.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that. But I was born in a small town in Alabama called Tuskegee. Matter of fact, back then it was called Tuskegee Institute. It was the home of Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver and many of those students back then.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to have a hospital on campus there called John Andrew Hospital. That's where I was born, at that hospital. Believe it or not, we couldn't go to the Caucasian hospital, of course, back in those days, in the early 50s, late 40s. So we had our own hospital. It's a shame that we don't have our own hospital today. Because
yes,
that was an excellent hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I was born in Tuskegee, but I wasn't from Tuskegee. I was from a small town called Auburn, Alabama, maybe about 12 miles northeast of Tuskegee, most of a Caucasian town. And then, of course, if you ever heard of Auburn, the university there is Auburn University.
Mm-hmm.
And that should bring that to a lot of people's mind. It's a huge university. Matter of fact, the whole town is the university. About 35,000-40,000 students from all over every place, you know? So I was blessed to go to that school. All I had to do was cross the railroad track, and I was on the campus. I have several degrees from that university, believe it or not. I can remember the brother who integrated that university. I think I was in maybe about the 10th or 11th grade back then.
Yes.
And I said, and my mother told me one day I'll be able to go to that school. I was a child, and I still remember her saying that. You'll be able to go to that school one day. Absolutely incredible how things happen. And people had dreams back then. So that's what we have to be about today. We have to have dreams. So I met my wife, you know, soon we started school. I think I knew her about 3 months. We went to the same high school, but she was a few grades ahead of me. And so I wasn't interested. I had all I could do to take care of. But as soon as we got out of school, and I happened to see her somewhere, and we got acquainted, and 3 months later we were married, believe it or not. 3 months.
Alhamdulillah.
And it's been 50-plus years have transpired, believe it or not.
Allah will Akbar. That's going back a ways there. Imam Shaheed.
One wife, one woman, and over 50 years. I think that
I tell you, brother,
that
seems like an eternity today when some can't be together for 50 days. You know that.
And we do, one of our secret
months.
Brother, ma'am. I'm sorry.
So 50
one of our
years.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, 50 years, that's a long time, you know, to have that. But this is what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have. Wants us to have that longevity in our relationship. So inshallah, futuristic, I will be extending an invitation to you to be special guests, and maybe you can get your wife to join you on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I'm always looking for couples, you know, to share
with
our radio listening audience, because I know it hasn't always been peaches and cream. And all because of what Allah gives us in Revelation. Do you think you'd be just left alone saying you believe without trials and tribulations? So I'm quite sure.
I know that's right.
You have so much experience in that you can really be a benefit and help. But let's flip the script here. There's much that I want to talk to you about and question you in the round table here. One, in terms of talking about your health from a scientific perspective, and as well, Brother Rashid asked our beloved sister Nadja to stay on. She's an educator. And in addition to that, I want to also give you opportunity to kind of give a synopsis of the upcoming production here and what it is that they can be looking forward to when they tune in each and every Tuesday night. I want to say also to our radio listening audience that Imam Abdul Shaheed has an outstanding production on our sister station, AM 360. Optimum Health is cool. You can assess that each and every Wednesday. If I'm not mistaken, is that Eastern Standard Time from 11 to 12, or is it 12 to 1?
12 to 1. 12
to
1.
Yeah, Eastern is,
Eastern
but it's
time.
11 to 12. It's 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time, but it's 11 to 12 Central Standard Time.
Yes, sir.
And 9 to 11 Pacific Coast Time is the other 2 hours behind us. So you can always tune in to Optimum Health on our sister station, AM 360. And, of course, if you dial 515-605-9891 and you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, that means it will be 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for you. And if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, it will be 11 a.m. for you. And if you're out west, it will be 9 a.m. A lot of great information. It's just like a learning. He doesn't call it a learning lab, but you need to bring your pen and pad to tune in for that. And now we'll be honored to have Imam Abdul Shaheed and Rashid Salam forming the dynamic duel on the science of your health and you. So let's start with, in terms of talking about your health and how important that is, and from a scientific perspective, give us a little information in regards to that, so our radio listening audience can become acquainted with the perspective and the paradigm that it is that you use to approach in talking about how to have optimal health. Imam Shaheed?
Yes, sir. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Brother Imam, the foundation of our health is based on physics, believe it or not. And doctors do not study physics. They study anatomy and physiology. All mm-hmm. other alternative medicine do not study physics. Chiropractor, herbalist, acupuncturist, homeopathic, naturopathic, all the other therapeutics do not study energy, and they do not study physics. And this is why they cannot cure diseases. Symptometry is the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cells, the living cells of the human being. Brother Ma'am, our body is composed of over 75 to 100 trillion cells.
Mm.
Though you can see me, you cannot see them. And they produce our organs, our tissues, our gland, our crepes, our membrane,
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yes.
They're able to produce all our brain essentials and our body essentials. They produce everything. And
yes.
no man know how to produce what they are able to produce, brother ma'am.
Yes, sir.
And,
so
and no man taught them.
The intelligence is already there, clocked in by the creator. Is
absolutely.
Correct?
They have atomic intelligence ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
They are gifted with atomic intelligence. Matter of fact, we are the product of atomic collision.
Mm.
The food we eat, the water we drink, and the beverage we drink has to be turned back into atoms in order for our cells to use them.
Mm.
That's
yes.
proof right there that we came from Adam and we're going back to Adam. In order for our cells to be nourished, they must be reduced to atoms again. And if we are unable to do that,
mm-hmm.
our health will be denied. So scintometry is the most scientific and natural means to address the needs of human cells. We're not animals.
Yes.
We're not plants. We are human beings. And that's
mm-hmm.
a big distinction, a huge distinction. So scintometry make use of universal science,
mm-hmm.
science that the Almighty used to create the universe. See, Brother Matt, we are part and parcel to the creation. We're not separate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us want to think that we are separate from the creation. Every time we break the laws of physics, believe it or not, every time we break the laws of physics, our body will give us a sign or a symptom.
We pay.
If we keep breaking the laws, then we will activate a disease that we already carry in our gene.
Mm.
Isn't that absolutely amazing? And here's another kicker. The symptom and the disease is not meant to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
They are for us to get back on track, to get
mm-hmm.
back in line, to get back in homeostasis, to get back in balance.
Yes.
That's what it's meant for us to do. But since no one has taught us, so we do not know. And this
so
is what
you're saying, Imam Shaheed, so that is a sign, it is a message. As Allah says in the Quran, outside in the creation, there are signs for you, but also inside.
Inside.
Self. And actually, we are the micro, it seems like you're saying that we are a microcosm of the microcosm.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, Allah says in the Quran, seven above you and seven in you.
Yes.
And there are seven fronts of health, and we have to be healthy on all seven fronts in order to be optimally healthy. And we'd like to mention those seven fronts of health. Some people
no,
are healthy
yeah,
on a few of these
go
areas.
Right ahead because because you are showing Tahit the oneness in terms of this beautiful creation that Allah has
absolutely.
Given to us. And need to respect
and it's
it.
Demonstrated. It's demonstrated in the human being. That oneness is demonstrated in the human being.
Yes.
We have many different body parts, many different moving parts. It's interconnected, interrelated, integrated, and it operates as one biological unit. The seen and the unseen working together in our own body.
Yes.
The human being, Brother Imam, has two components, one that you can see and the one that you cannot see. And I hope we can make reference to those on your program tonight. Because
yes,
that
sir.
Has all to do with our health. So
mm-hmm.
there are seven fronts to health, and we have to be optimally healthy on all seven fronts. And the most important one that I think is sexual health.
Mm.
If you're not healthy in this area, it's going to affect every other area of your life. And this is what we see in our society today.
Yes.
Sexual health, physical health, health
mm-hmm.
of our organs, mental health, metabolic health, emotional health, and health of all of our 11 systems. Those are the seven fronts of health, and we have to be healthy on all seven levels in order to be optimally healthy.
Mm-hmm. So, Brother Imam, let me ask you this question in terms of you mentioned sexual at the forefront. I'm quite sure that it probably raised the eyebrow of some of the radio listening audience. And, so I'm going to ask the question because I know it's probably on the mind of
yes,
others,
sir.
And especially maybe even those who began to get up in age or what, and be concerned about, you know, themselves as a sexual being and all. But talk a little bit about that component, if you would, and why you see that as being at the forefront of all of these different systems that, as you say, have to work together in a collaborative way.
Yes, sir. This is most important because if we're going to procreate, Brother Imam, that is the whole purpose, procreation.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty
yes.
has set up the condition for us to procreate. So
yes.
that means that the male and the female must have some attractive power there, must be attracted to each other. And this
yes.
is what the sexual health is all about. If
mm-hmm.
you don't produce certain neurochemical and neurotransmitter, you will not have that attractive ability
mm-hmm.
for the opposite
mm-hmm.
sex.
Mm.
If you have genetic abnormalities, if you have genetic abnormalities, you might prefer the same sex.
Mm. So,
and that's not going to coincide with procreation. So
no.
we have to be sexual. We have to be healthy on a sexual basis. And then if
yeah.
you are in the prime of your life and you have weak sperm, and you don't know
mm-hmm.
the reason why your sperms are weak and decrepit, and oftentimes
mm-hmm.
it's based on what the person is eating,
mm-hmm.
and you're not able to produce a healthy sperm, you're not going to be able to impregnate anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the same hand with the woman. If
mm-hmm.
she's not able to produce egg with strong force, and that will propel the egg in the fallopian tube, there would be
mm-hmm.
no automation taking place to produce a child in 9 months.
Mm.
There's so many things that must be working at the same time, Brother Imam, and all of these things that's working are on automatic power. The Almighty
yes.
has produced us with matrix. The matrix is produced through energy, all kinds of energy. So this
yes.
is why we have to study physics. At the American School of Cytometry, we have to study physics and apply that information, that science, to the human being. Applied physics. This is what Dr.
Yes.
Norton calls it.
Yeah.
So cytometry cytometry in name is new, but the concept
mm-hmm.
of cytometry go all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning.
Alhamdulillah. But this is, I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have at the roundtable our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Abdul Shaheed, who's a teacher of cytometry, and actually giving us a breakdown in terms of the components that holistically comprise the wholeness of the human body, and why it is that we have to be sexually healthy. And I know that would be of interest and concern to a lot of people, and not only just, you know, older people, but also younger people in terms of not being able to, and that is a system that I'm aware of, that the reproductive system
right.
is a part of that system that Almighty God, Allah, has put within us, and for the sustaining of human life you have to be able to reproduce. And so
Yes. Our
brother has given us a lot of information. So if you have a question or comment, this is your time to press 1, and Rashid Salam will alert me that you're in the queue. So, Brother Imam, as you continue to talk about these systems, and, you know, of course, you've articulated the importance of keeping yourself healthy as a sexual being, and it should be no shame in that.
No.
Because this is a law of design. These things that you're speaking about scientifically, obviously, is saying to me that these are components that Allah has given to us, and He's the creator, He's the architect of all of creation, including the human being biologically, also in terms of mentally, spiritually. All of these components are very, very important, and they all work together. Imam
Absolutely.
Shahid. Yes, sir. So how would you relate in terms of the sexual health to these other various components, the relationship or the collaboration, the cooperation, and scientifically, these genes know exactly what to do. I've actually, in terms of the word tologist myself, the word intelligence, actually that IN standing for the internal, the tele means communication, and the gents in the word intelligence is genes. So when you put it all together, it is the internal communication of the genes working together, but interference can actually come there if we're not consciously aware. Imam Shahid, would you like to make some comments on that?
Yes, sir. First, before we do that, let me just explain what health is all about. What is health?
Yes.
Because many people do not have a clear-cut definition of what health is. And that's why we want to take the opportunity to explain and define health. Symptomatology define health as a reward. A reward. And where is this reward coming from? This reward is coming from the cells.
Yes.
The cell. And why would they give us a reward? Absolutely amazing. Health is defined as a reward that the totality of our cells bestow on a person who succeeds in aligning the desire of their mind with the needs of the cell.
Alhamdulillah.
We have to realign our mind with what our cells need.
One more time, Brother Imam. please. That's no way. I hope that you got your pens and pad.
Yes.
That you need to have your pens and pad and write this down. So I'm trying to give you a little time to get your pen and get your pad, get your paper, because I'm going to ask Imam Shahid to give us that again in terms of reward. Please, Imam Shahid.
Yes, and we can see how this relates right out of the Quran, Brother Imam. Our health is a reward that comes from ourselves. When the person aligns the desire, this is very important, when their desire is in alignment with what the cells need, our cells will reward the person with good health. If our cells are denied anything that they need,
that's the reward.
That is the reward, your health.
Yes.
And your health is your wealth. If you have your health, you can get money.
Yes.
If you have your mental clarity, you can figure things out and create opportunity right out of the thin air.
Yes.
But if you cannot produce neurons, you would not be in a position to even produce a thought or an idea without neurons.
That's right.
You have to have neuronal connectivity to even come up with an idea. And those nerves and those synapses must be firing. We must produce neurons by the billions and trillions not by the hundreds and thousands.
Mm-hmm.
So our mind would be the best because our brain would be at its best. The mind and the brain has a connection, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir.
See, here's what I said earlier, that the human being has two components.
Mm-hmm.
One that you can see
and
one that you cannot see. And here's the thing. The disease will always start in the place that you cannot see, and that would be the person's mind. Health and disease start in the person's mind first, and it manifests itself in the part of our body that we can see. But it started in the person's mind first. Whatever disease the person has, it started in their mind first, and it manifests itself somewhere in the body so they can see it.
So, in other words, the place first is invisible, which is the mind, but
Absolutely.
Then visible becomes the body.
Absolutely. That's how it works. So our mind must agree with what our cells need. Our cells need certain things. Even though they can make all our body essential and our brain essential, they have certain requirements, Brother Imam.
Yes.
And many people do not understand what the cell require.
Yes.
They don't understand what the cell requires. The cell have certain requirements, and we must meet those requirements. If not, health will be denied. Health will be denied. This is how it works. So health is a reward that comes from our cells, and it's bestowed on a person who is successful at aligning the desire of their mind with what the cells need. Why the mind must be in agreement with the cells? Why? Here's the thing, Brother Man. The mind is the decision maker. It makes all of our decisions. Just because you are knowledgeable does not mean that you're going to make the right decision. You have the choice of making correct decisions or you can make errors.
True that. Yes.
And every time we make errors that do not agree with the needs of our cells, we will create negative energy called friction, tension, inertia, stasis, friction, all these things, a tangent of negative energy. No one will be healthy with negative energy dominating in their body.
Yes.
That's where disease comes from. Disease is negative energy displacing positive energy in the person. Everything must be reduced to physics.
Yes.
As
so, Brother Imam,
to the human being.
Yeah, so, Brother Imam, I want to ask you this question, and then I want to say to those who may be listening by way of the Internet, that if you want to ask a very esteemed guest, Imam Abdul Shaheed, a question, because he's given some very valuable information, you might want to ask a question to get even more detail or even more clarity. It's very clear to me, but then you might want to for him to go a little bit deeper, and he's very well capable of doing that. You need to call into the studio, which that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. If you're listening in, tune in, you might want to notify someone because Imam Abdul Shaheed and Rashid Salam, they will be making their debut, inshallah, about 2 weeks from this past Tuesday, which will be November the 16th, right here on IWDM Radio. That'll be every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on the signs of your health in you. Oh, this is, I'm so looking forward to this. This is, you're going to get a wide range of information. And before we let Imam Abdul Shaheed go, I'm going to ask him to give us a synopsis of that. So, Rashid Salam, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up, want to ask a question, make a comment, or we also want to invite those who just sit and listen, that's just absorbing this information each and every week. We do invite you, if what is being said is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. I'm quite sure Imam Shaheed would love to hear from you too. And Rashid, you know, of course, if you have any questions or comments, I know you're a student, always taking some notes. You always got a lot to say, brother. So I know I'm going to hear something from you tonight. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to chime in.
Yes,
Rashid, anybody
sir.
Out there with their hands up now, or they
still
just mesmerized here, or what?
Yeah, I got both my hands raised, and everybody can be mesmerized if they want to. That's their, but here's the deal. We just sit here in a very short period of time. As a teacher or educator, if you're on the line, or for an individual who have children, if you're on the line, you just got a history lesson, a math lesson, a science lesson, a health lesson, and a physics lesson, all in a short period of time, so you have to begin to prepare your thinking process. You just got to get this right, Mark. I'm just saying, Mark, if we think we okay, then we have that's a bad way of thinking. None of us are well, so we need to accept this one fact that we need to know more about our human anatomy. And if you're talking to children and you can't talk like this brother is talking right now, I have an ability to convey that information, we need to stop, drop, and roll. Okay, I just want to say that real quick. You know, I'm not trying to get nobody's nerves. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. But brother, I mean, you talk about remember they talk about artificial intelligence. Well, all that stuff we had in the past was artificial intelligence. Actually, you know. So bottom line here, now we are getting the proper type of intelligence we need to function with. I just want to say, let me go to folks. I got another hand raised here. Who want to say something? So,
okay, well let's
go
to the callers and see what they got on their mind.
Yes,
okay, who we have, Rashid?
Yes, sir. This is our beloved sister, 786-797. Dr. Patricia, speak your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Salamuddin from
Alaikum
assalam.
Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You have a question or comment for our very distinguished guest, Imam Abdul Shaheed?
Yes, I have a question. He's giving us the information, and I'm wondering what platform do we go to get this information if we want to study it more? If we have additional questions, or if we want to create lessons for our students, where do we go to get more information? Because I know you're going to sit with us for an hour or so, and that just won't be enough for us to. I'm sure there's more to learn.
Did you hear Dr. Salahuddin that, inshallah, God willing, they will be coming to IWDM Radio on a continuous basis with a weekly production beginning with the debut, if you will, on November the 16th, which would be 2 weeks from this past Tuesday, and they will be coming on, and their production will be called The Science of Your Health and You. The Science of Your Health and You. So, inshallah, we will be anxiously awaiting for that debut with Imam Abdul Shaheed and Rashid Salam. 2 weeks from now. So, but anyway, Imam Shaheed, please.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Spaldine's question, if you would.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to answer her question. This is a complete science-based, knowledge-based health therapeutics. This is therapeutic science. Scintometry is therapeutic science. And what we mean by that is it's a complete science. And it makes use of all of the universal science that the Almighty has created. And we'll be sharing those sciences with you, with the listening audience. We're going to be talking about how to cure diseases. Brother Imam, every disease is curable. Every single disease is curable. That's over 3,333 different diseases of mankind, and all of them are curable. The Almighty has put all of the structure, everything inside of us to cure every single disease. We have to understand and learn how they work, how they operate. So we in a situation, Brother Man, where we have to take back our health. And this is what Dr. Maxwell Norton discovered.
Mm-hmm.
He went back and studied all of those sciences from the 17, 18, and 1900s. And the information that he found are inscribed or enshrined in those medical dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
They are enshrined in the medical dictionary for eternity. But young, bright medical students are steered away from being healers. They are now just dealing with symptom treatment. They don't heal anything, and they're not trying to heal. For instance, the cure for cancer was talked about in 1934 by a person by the name of Otto Warburg. He's a double Nobel Peace Prize laureate. He came up and discovered the cause of cancer, and it's very simple. And but they're still studying and still trying to research cancer today. Am I right?
Yes, and you know, that's what's mind-boggling to me after all of these years, and I don't have anywhere near the knowledge that you have in that, but it just makes good sense to me that what it is that they have already uncovered and discovered. I'm just looking at the tobacco industry, how the FDA have sanctioned them to be able to sell tobacco products and have liberated them from any suits to be filed, and just only saying to them, all you have to do is post on any tobacco product that the Surgeon General has found this product to be and to cause cancer, and something they've been knowing for many, many years. But still, they're asking you to contribute, to donate for cancer research. I see hypocrisy in that.
Yeah.
I see it being paradoxical, if you will, in that, because they have done the research. I mean, as you say, the there has been given, but the fact of the matter is that this country refuses to stop selling those products that they already know that actually initiate and the cause of cancer and all. So we need this type of information. So please.
We have to be the one to get smarter. And we have to be the one to make the decision to take our health back. They're not going to stop making money. And we have carcinogen and carcinogens all over the place, Brother Ma'am. Everywhere we turn, there are cancer-causing agents. Everywhere we turn. They're in the food. They're in the air. They're in the water. They're in things that we use on our hair. They're in the things that use on our skin. They're in things that use for brushing our teeth. And they in our home in all kind of chemical, in bug spray, and also on our crops, the herbicide, the pesticide, the fungicides. They spray them in the grocery store when we go shopping. The sulfite to keep the fruits and vegetables looking fresh. These things are everywhere. See, Syntomager teaches scientific eating and scientific living. Not only do we have to eat scientifically, we also have to live scientifically on this planet, because this planet has a lot of booger traps, Brother Ma'am. This is not the garden, and it's certainly not the paradise. The earth is filled with booger traps, and you have to be knowledgeable in order to navigate this planet. We're on planet Earth, a rock floating in space. That's the reality.
Yes.
So we, the human being, must get smarter. Our brain weighs over 3 pounds. The Neanderthal brain weighed less than 2.5 pounds, 3 pounds, 2 ounces, 2 pounds. So our brain is larger, which means we should have more intelligence. But it has taken over 200,000 years for us to figure this out, Brother Ma'am, how to live on this planet with dignity and with safety. Nobody can make you safe but you yourself. Allah has gifted you with intelligence, and we have to begin to use it. So what causes diseases? What makes a person sick?
Mm-hmm.
That simple question.
I know a lot of these questions, well, we won't be able to, as Dr. Spalding, if she's still there, you know, all the questions can't be asked nor answered in an hour, you know,
no,
a little bit better.
No, it is too much information.
So this is why, you know, I'm elated to announce on the MGM Roundtable that this production will be aired starting November the 16th here on IWDM Radio, whereas I know they're going to have outstanding topics each and every week. So you're not going to want to miss it. I mean, and don't come by yourself. Bring somebody along with you, because this is not information that we've been privy to. And, you know, also, Imam Shahid, I recall if Dr. Salahuddin is still there, she did ask if there's somewhere where you can maybe say you can disseminate that information as to where they can go, website or whatever, yada, yada, yada.
Yes, sir.
In regards to that. But I wanted her to know that, inshallah, we are really looking forward to you having a presence here on IWDM Radio each and every Tuesday night. So however you want to approach that, Imam Shahid, please do.
Yes, sir. I'm going to share a website, and this website is the American School of Centimetry website. And Dr. Maxwell Naughty is the founder of the American School of Centimetry. He is the creator and inventor of the therapeutic science called centimetry. And this brother has been blessed by the Almighty himself. And he shared with his student his technique for finding things out, because what he knows, brother, is now did not come out of a book.
Mm-hmm.
What he now know about how to cure diseases did not come out of a book.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he studied books, he's a doctor of homeopathic medicine. He's a doctor of natural health, and he also is a master of all 17 scientific disciplines. 17 different scientific disciplines. He's a master of them. He took all of that information to create centimetry, the most natural and scientific means to address human cells. And by doing that, he's able to cure every single disease. Disease is not the problem. It is the person that has the disease will make their disease curable or incurable. The person that has it.
Yes.
But all diseases are curable. Why would the Almighty give us a disease where there's no cure? What would be the point of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says in the Quran that all diseases are curable.
That's the increase. Would I be correct to say to increase the knowledge? And then, as the Imam W.D. Muhammad has said, that everything that is in creation, it goes back to what it is that you say, what you see and what you don't see. There is a knowledge body that accompanies that. There is a system.
Absolutely.
Knowledge for that, or a system of science that's in that creation, whether you see it or you don't see it.
Yes. Allah created everything in pairs. Everything. Health, disease, up, down. Everything. Male, female.
That's what he says.
Everything. In prayer, except 36, himself.
36,
there is no prayer for Allah.
Yes. Yes. So you find that with Imam Shahid saying in the Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 36, just to give a Quranic reference for that, that Allah says that everything that he created that comes up out of the earth is in prayers. And he said, even talking about the male and the female in terms of pair, and those things in which you don't see, he said, also it's a pair. So you'll find that it's in other ayats in the Quran, but I'll give you one that comes to my mind, which is Surah 36, ayat 36. And you notice that the ayat, it has the same number as the surah is assigned in that too.
Absolutely. In everything. So here's the website that any one of us can go to. I go to this website every day, brother, ma'am, and I'm a student.
Yes, sir.
I had to go back to school, When I came to Symptomatry, in order, let me share this with you. It was 2013, the first day of Ramadan, when I found out about Symptomatry. I happened to be on a conference call, and there was a person on that conference call speaking about scientific eating and scientific living, and my ears just perked up.
I envision a pair of ears that actually move.
Exactly. And before the week was out, the person that was on that call was a guest. He lived in Thomasville, North Carolina. And I was in Thomasville, North Carolina, with my recorder, asking him all kinds of questions.
Well, you know, I
pray
a lot.
And I did that for weeks.
Their ears are all perked up. and you know, I want to share with you what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Sahih Hadith. He said, "Speak to the ear that's alive." What does the Prophet mean? Speak to the ear that's listening. So I'm hoping that we're really listening, you know, just not, you say, yeah, I hear you. You know how we talk sometimes. Yeah, I hear you. But no, we be really listening. And I know that you would challenge those that are listening to go in and, as they say, do your own due diligence in terms of research.
That's what I did.
You know,
that's what I did.
Yes. I know you did. Is when you saw your ears perked up, you gotta. And what am I hearing? Is this for real? You know, when you hear something for the first time, and you're really listening, because I like to differentiate between hearing and listening. If there's nothing wrong with you physically, you'll be able to hear. But listening is the art of perceiving all that's being communicated. You know. And that's a higher level in terms of listening. I said that if I was able to open up one school, I would open up, especially for our people, I would open the school of listening. I would open up a school for listening. It'd be called a listening school. And all
Absolutely.
Those things that we should really be listening to, you know, because when we start talking about. And everybody wants to have excellent health. They want to have optimum health, if you will. But do we and will we invest the time in it to actually get the information, correct information, education?
That's
so
what it takes.
That becomes the question that has
That's
to be
the,
answered.
That is the question, brother man.
Mm-hmm. Because
it's very difficult to be healthy. And I'm also a certified symptometry health coach. I have many clients that I help to recover from their diseses. And I always share with them, that this is a difficult journey, because we've been given a certain paradigm, a certain way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can eat food, drink water, and go to the bathroom, and that's all we have to do. No, it's a lot more to it than that, Brother Van.
Well,
because
other than go to the bathroom, it sounds like being on an animal level, you know, because you can just picture yourself out in the field and you see the cows grazing and other animals and everything, and they drink water. They got to have water too.
Yes.
And
that's
have
the level
a,
we
have
on.
Yeah, they have an excretory system, and they have elimination, and, you know, ain't no shame in their game. Whenever they got, it's got to come.
They got to go, right.
Yeah, you got to go, you know, so responding to nature. But for the human being, it's a lot more in terms of
There's a lot
being
more
in,
to it than that.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot
but really,
more to
man,
it than
let
that.
Me, let me, and before,
can
you know.
Can I give it a website?
We're
I never give the website.
Yeah, but give a website, and then what I want you to do before you go, if you would oblige us in terms of giving the radio listening audience somewhat of a synopsis, what is it that we can expect to be hearing on this new production of the Science of Your Health and You? after you give the website or however you want to do it, because I know Dr. Salahuddin is listening in. I can tell.
Yeah.
Well, you said your ears perked up. Her ears is perked up. Believe me, bro.
Absolutely. So this website, before I forget it, is amsos.org. A-M.
Say that again, buddy, man.
Yes, sir. amsos.org. That's the website. You go there, click on articles, and Dr. Norton has many articles there related to your symptom and may even be related to your disease that you have right now. You can get clear understanding why you have what you have and what must be done about it.
Mm.
All diseases are curable. And we're going to, on this program that we're going to have, we're going to be talking about how do we cure diseases. Every cell of our body, Brother Imam, has a nucleus except the red blood cell. Every cell of our body has a nucleus except the red blood cell. Why do you think the red blood cell do not have a nucleus?
That's a good question. Yes.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah. So getting that type of information. I mean, if you want to share that tonight, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm going to
share right now. But it's going to set the stage for the kind of information that we're going to be sharing.
Okay.
Every cell of our body, all 75 to 100 trillion cells, and there are over 200 different cell types, all of them has a nucleus except the red blood cell. There's no nucleus in the red blood cell because that space in the cell must carry the hemoglobin, the oxygen attached to the hemoglobin, because it needs that space to carry the oxygen throughout our body. So there's no nucleus there taking up space, but there's oxygen there attached to the hemoglobin. And now how do the oxygen get off the hemoglobin, we'll be explaining. Because you can have oxygen throughout your body and it not be in the cell, and your cell will be dying off. We have oxygen in our food, Brother Imam. We have oxygen in the water we drink. And we have oxygen in the air we breathe, but there will still be many places in the person's body that will not have oxygen. This is the reason why the person would be predisposed to cancer. No oxygen in the cell.
That's powerful. That's powerful, Imam Shaheen. And you know, when you were saying
about,
that, I'm thinking about right now, you know, when I see people driving around in their car by themselves or out just walking by themselves and they got a mask on.
Yes.
And, you need to be inhaling the natural oxygen from the creation. But they're depriving themselves of that, and they're exhaling carbon dioxide.
Which is waste.
But then we have people who are not given the correct information in regards to that. So I know, boy, this is going to be a powerful, powerful show. Boy, you don't want to miss. But go ahead. I mean, you know, anything else in terms of the synopsis of what it is they can really expect?
Here's another thing that's worth us contemplating over, that we will be explaining in detail. We have our body, the human being, is composed of 94% water. It's just like the earth. Water everywhere. But only 1% of the water on Earth is drinkable, less than that. But water is everywhere. This is called the water planet. But we can only drink on less than 1% of it. So in our body, Brother Imam, we have water everywhere, 94% water, 6% nutrients. Well, answer this question. If we have water everywhere, why do people have dry eye, dry lips, dry mouth, dry heel on their feet, dry hands, dry vagina, dry behind, dry anus, and it goes, and the list goes on and on and on. Why do we have all this water, but we have so many places in our body that's dry, dehydrated even?
Wow. Man, this is Boy, look here. Now, if that doesn't pique the interest, I just don't know, because you can't get away from yourself. This is a body that we all have. And I know that some of us have experienced those things in terms of the dryness and everything. I know I'm going to be tuned in, dialed in, listening in, have my pen and pad.
And here's another thing, brother, ma'am, we're going to be talking about.
Yes, sir.
As far as scientific eating, there's a scientific way to eat for human beings, and there's scientific cooking as well. We're going to have to go back to school on how to cook food, brother and ma'am, and how to prepare food, because we've been taught erroneously how to prepare food. Our kitchen is a biochemistry lab.
A science lab, all of
yes.
that. What we thought we knew, we're gonna have to really probably just empty all that out and start
yes,
all over
because
again.
Because here's what happened, brother, ma'am. People are dying because they're self-poisoning themselves. They're poisoning themselves in the kitchen, and they're going to sleep at night, and they will not wake up because they mixed things together and they didn't know what they were doing. In the kitchen, we have molecules. Food is a large, complex molecule. It contains sugar, starch, oil, protein, additives, preservatives, salt, poison, toxic, heavy acid, heavy alkalinity. All these things are in the food. They contain coal tar derivatives. They contain carcinogens. They contain tumor urgent. All these things are in the food. So a lot of people go in the kitchen, and they prepare something, and they lay down, they poison themselves, and they won't wake up in the morning because they poison themselves. So there's a lot to learn, and there's a scientific way to eat food. There's approximate 45 food on this planet that's safe for human beings to consume. Even though the Almighty made a lot of food available for us, and the human being thinks he can eat everything on the planet, but we have all these other creatures on the planet as well. Some of that stuff is for them. But the human being is so selfish. If it doesn't kill me the first time, it must be safe to eat it. No.
I got another hand raised, Mark.
Got another hand. Okay, we got it. Okay, Mel Shay, we can. Yeah, I'm telling you, you got people's ears wiggling here. Go ahead, Rashid. Let's see what caller have on their mind.
We have our sensational the preacher Hadith on the phone. 810-610. Please state your name and where you call it from.
Assalamu alaikum, sister the preacher.
Well, alhamdulillah, and assalamu alaikum to you, engineer. Everybody just know me, huh?
I'm going to make my salam to you,
I
know that you know this brother here. So he's going to be a welcome addition along with Rashid Salam inshallah, this 2 weeks from this past Tuesday with their debut here on IWDN Radio. We're so looking forward to this information. I said to him, you know, just want to give a little appetizer tonight and just to make the people aware of what it is that they can actually expect to hear when they tune in to the science of your health and you, which actually the name of this production should pique your interest, obviously, and what it is that you actually heard tonight should pique your interest. So, the priest of Hadi, you got a question, a comment for our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Abdul Shaheed?
Yes, sir. You know, and I'm looking at the time. I believe it's just about time for you to go off, and I do apologize, and I'll be brief.
Well, that's okay. We got a little bit more flexibility here. And we utilize it here on IWDM Radio. So, go ahead and ask your question or make any comment you like to our guest, if you would, Teresa.
Yes, sir. Well, I do listen to Brother Imam, Dr. Shaheed, over on AM360. But when he got to talking about people going in the kitchen and they poisoning themselves, I said, I remember him saying something about eating meat with beans, I believe it was. Eating meat with beans together. And I said, you know, people, you're absolutely right. People don't even know what they're doing. When we go in the kitchen, we say, that sounds good together. Everything sounds good together. But it's not the effect that it's going to have on you, you know?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing at the way you said it. Because, you know, the truth sounds funny sometimes, but this is a lot of times in our upbringing and I'm saying out of ignorance, we just don't know. There's just been tradition. You know, you can go back to the Quran again where Allah says, and they were following the traditions of their fathers. But they were in darkness. They were in the stage of Jahiliya. But that can be in any and every component of our life. And so I almost call them Dr. Maybe I start calling him Dr. Abdul Shaheed. Is actually saying that you can be in Jahiliya when it comes. And Jahiliya, for those who don't know, meaning a person that's in darkness or ignorance, you know, not aware, not conscious of these things. And obviously we were people that were not conscious of a lot of things. And part of this here has been following the traditions of our fathers. And some of that was imposed at one time. But now we don't have any excuses in terms of still just accepting anything. I remember in terms of even when I was coming up, that pork was considered the cheaper meat, so many black people or African American people they ate pork. You know, now you know a few years back they come up with the commercial the other white meat because people became conscious and left that. But then there's probably a conscious awareness that we need to know about other foods and how they actually can be a benefit or can be detrimental to our health and everything. So I'm just elated to have Dr. Abdul Shaheed and Rashid Salam coming on board, because I know it's going to be a wealth of information. It's going to be like your production, The Priest of Hadi, on Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab each and every Saturday on our sister station. You can listen to her each and every Saturday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. And once again, the call-in number for that is 515-605-9891. You need to bring your pen and pad there. So, DePriester, did you want to say anything else to Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed, or a question that you wanted to ask, or anything?
You were saying something about you're going to be debuting on IWDM. I certainly want to.
They're going to have a production. Yeah, The Science of Your Health and You. That's going to debut November the 16th, Tuesday. It'll be 7 p.m. your time, Eastern Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time here on IWDM Radio. A welcome edition.
Wonderful. Wonderful, because we can't get enough of this information.
And you know what? We're encouraging our radio listeners, audience, because this is just, you know, like an appetizer, what you just heard tonight. We didn't want to go into nothing real, real, real deep, but just wanted as an appetizer of some of those things that you've been hearing and topics. They're going to have outstanding topics. I know they will. And the information is going to be the type of information to give us the correct formation for our life and the various components of our life in a healthy way. So they're going to really teach it. They're going to really be teaching you in terms of what health is going to look like from the various components that comprise the human being. So that's
quite a bit of that information from you, too. I tell you, it makes a big difference. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister.
Hey, Mark, go ahead, Rashid. I think Sister Patricia's mic is still open. See if she want to say something. And before
Most definitely. Dr. Salahuddin, you got another question or comment?
My hand go down. I don't know. I kept pushing a one and it wouldn't go down. So I'm sorry.
you can keep pushing.
It was meant for your hand to stay up in the air. But, I want to say to Imam Abdul Shaheed that Dr. Patricia Salahuddin is a very distinguished co-host and facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You'll be hearing her voice each and every Wednesday. Allah has blessed her with a lot of insight and wisdom when it comes to parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life and all. And so it's a great pleasure and honor to be able to work with her, and I know she'll probably be tuning in because you already piqued her interest in some of the things that said tonight here on the MGM Roundtable.
Well, here's something she would most definitely be interested in, Brother Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going to
be sharing information on that intelligent children are not born, they're made. Let that soak in. Intelligent children are not born, they are made. So Syntonica has what's called pregnancy management, how to produce the most perfect, healthy baby. This is where it all starts. So that baby come here with an enzyme surplus. It's come here with a firm foundation. And the foundation that we are all born in is the foundation that deal with the nervous system. The first system that's created in the womb of our mother is the nervous system. And there's three nervous systems. There are three of them.
I don't know about Dr. Salahuddin, but I know I got to be in that class.
If those foundations are weak, then we're going to have a hell to pay when these children get here. And this is what we see in our society today. The foundation of these children are weak. They're born with a weak foundation. Their three nervous systems have been weakened because of what the mother has been eating. She ate the wrong food. She made the wrong choices. Those things need to be corrected. And Syntonica is able to make the correction. So the three nervous system will be strong, built with matrix, the matrix that have all of the automation, all of the energy that produce automation within us, automatic.
I'm exactly what
to do.
I want to give Rashid Salam an opportunity before we get ready to close down, because I can tell you personally, I am going to exert as much energy as I can to have people to listen in. Because I think after they listen in one time, you're going to capture, you and Rashid are going to capture their attention, and they're going to want to come back for more. Each and every week here on IWDM Radio. So, Rashid Salam, any questions or comments that you'd like to make or anything that you would like to share with our radio listening audience, what they can be looking forward to starting November the 16th here on IWDM Radio?
Yes, I just want to say just a couple things, and I'm going to get off. Here's an opportunity for our parents and those of us who have children and grandchildren to sit down like we used to do back in the old days, listen to the radio together. This is a reconnection of our relationships with each other. If you don't care about your child and you don't care about your grandchild and you can't come up with it, look, we're going to spend an hour on the phone on just listen to something that's beneficial to all of us so we can grow and develop together. So that's the kind of the concept where we want to, sit down, having a chat, with your family members, so everybody can know those of us who are sick and those of us who we have to unlearn so we can learn. This is the kind of information we're talking about right now. Everything that you learned in the past was artificial, you know, and so your intelligence has been affected by that. So get your children, get your grandchildren, tell them to put everything away. Sit down and just become a family again. And that's all I wanted to say. And all those teachers who know teachers, all those people who know neighbors, pick up your telephone and tell them to get ready to change their lives. And that's all I want to say. If you don't think what you heard today is going to change your life, then guess what? You're one of those people who've been affected. With your nervous systems don't have a strong foundation. I'm going to let it go right there.
That's it.
I'm going to let it go.
Well, you know what? I want to thank you so much, and I want to give you, as I guess, the last 2 minutes, what it is that you would like to leave our radio listening audience with tonight, Imam Abdul Shaheed. And I want to thank you for accepting my invitation. You have an open door invitation here at the MGM Roundtable, of course, and everything, and I'm quite sure that what our radio listening audience have been able to listen to tonight have piqued their interest to the point whereas they can't wait to hear your inaugural production here on IWDM Radio. So, Brother Imam, you got 2 minutes before we close down here, and what is it like to leave with our radio listening audience?
Brother Imam, I certainly like to thank you for inviting us for allowing us to have this opportunity to share this information, most of all, because if we're going to remake the world, Brother Imam, and this is what we've been assigned to do, remake the world, and it starts with remaking ourselves. See, we can reinvent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can reinvent ourselves at any point. And this is what this show and what this program is going to be all about, how to reinvent ourselves to be the very best possible human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because our mind and our body are connected. They're connected. So I just wanted to thank you for allowing us to come on, and we're looking forward to sharing so much. We have so much information, and it all relates back to the creation. And this is what the Almighty asked us to do, to observe the creation. I have put everything in it for you, for your utility. Now we have to get to work. Brother Man, we're going to be talking about all of these different things, how food is problematic, how plant food, and we take so much for granted, and all of the different requirements that our cell has on us, that our cell have on us. And we're going to go through and talk about all of those things. So I just really want to sum up what we have been talking about tonight about health. And I have a quote that I'd like to share. And this quote says that everything about health goes back to our cells and energy. Health is strictly an individual journey. It is not hereditary. And it's not a family effort. Each person must work hard at becoming healthy at their cellular level so that they are rewarded for their distinguished personal efforts. This is a quote on a lecture that Dr. Maxwell Norton did, on lecture on atomic physics, and this is one of his quotes. It's absolutely amazing. So it's been our honor. Thank you for inviting us, and we look forward to the debut where we can begin to really teach people about health and where health comes from, and that all diseases are curable. It's up to the person who has the disease. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaikum as-salam, and alhamdulillah, there you have it. Please, one more time, give the information on that website so that our radio listening audience can go to that website and can pique their interest even that much more, if you will,
before
you depart.
Thank you. That website is AMSOS. SOS is the universal sign for help. AMSOS.org. AMSOS.org. And we also have our program on AM360 called Optimal Health every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And all you have to do is call in to the number 515-605-9891. 515-605-9891. And if that number is tied up, here's another number, 425-292-4253. And you also can call me or send me an email if I can get my email and phone number.
Yes, it's fine.
Okay, if you want to get further information or ask me a question behind the scene, feel free to call me at 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. And you may also contact us through email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-H-E-E-D. We thank you so very much.
And thank you so much, Imam Abdul Shaheed, and for the insight and wisdom, the information you shared with us.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We'll be looking forward to your debut here along with Rashid Salam here on IWDM Radio, The Science of Your Health and You, the new production to be aired here on IWDM Radio starting November the 16th. So let's spread the word, as they say, like Thunderbirds. Let's get the word out to tune in to this new production, IWDM. Want to say before we close out, we want to invite you back tomorrow for the tune in to the Sister Learning Lab coming from Karan Shakir as our co-host and co-facilitator, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, from the ATL, the Jewel of the South, there, Atlanta, Georgia. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, at 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we are still working out of the text of our beloved sister, Akila Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. So you don't want to miss that. Tune in tomorrow. And then after that, it'll be Salatul Jumu'ah Day, and you can get that right here on IWDM Radio with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, longtime resident Imam Anur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for Salatul Jumu'ah right here on IWDM Radio, the longest production here on IWDM Radio, also by a very distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Words make people. Words make people. You can catch that each and every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words make people with Imam Mikhail Sayer. You always have very distinguished, esteemed, interesting guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. Please don't forget about the Sister Learning Lab, which is each and every Wednesday here in terms of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as you heard, Najwa Abdul-Tawab, each and every first Wednesday here, and also our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and co-facilitator, our beloved sister, Dr. Patricia Slow Dean, hosts each and every Wednesday along with yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, each and every Wednesday evening here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As you know, I like to bring to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, also outside of our community, and topics that pertinent to us as a community. So tonight it was, I want to call him Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed. Gave us just a little taste of what it is that we can expect each and every Tuesday night. So we look forward to him. And then we also want to remind you, our beloved sister Fitcher Muhammad in Study Al-Islam, that airs each and every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'd be 10 a.m. for you, 9 a.m. for those in the Central Standard Time Zone, and those out on the left coast, the west coast, the Pacific coast, it will be 7 a.m. for you each and every Sunday. And you can assess that by dialing 712-770-4160. You have to put the access code in. That's 684-012-pound. Once again, 684-012-pound. And you can get that each and every Sunday morning. Just in case you miss it, in the main number that you call, you change the 0 to 9, you'll get the last presentation presenter, as we have some of the most outstanding intellects in our association that will be given a power-packed 30-minute presentation on life topics in terms of study al-Islam. Also, don't forget about our beloved sister, my good sister and friend, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal. Let's make sure that we support the Muslim Journal. If you have a subscription, which would be a prescription, as you heard Imam Shaheed talk about, we had to also, in terms of our mental health, be sure that you get the Muslim Journal and think about a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a community member, one of the pioneers or something, in terms of maybe getting a subscription for them. And also we do support the 2021 Time to Be Grateful. Once again, that will be hosted in the Jewel of the South, the ATL, by the Atlanta Masjid there. A Time to Be Grateful. This is an opportunity for you to go to that, type it in, get registered, and make a donation. If you're not coming, you was intending on coming, because this is a major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal, and it should be an outstanding production they have lined up. We're looking to have Professor Aisha K. Mustafa sometime again this month before the Time to Be Grateful, which will be in the month of December. So stay tuned to IWDM Radio for that. I want to thank our radio listening audience for being such a tentative audience tonight. As I know they was listening in, tuned in, and those that called in, want to thank them for calling in. Want to thank my very distinguished esteemed engineer, as he's on the road, but he's still on the job. That's Rashid Salam. A special thanks goes to him. And also Najah Abdul-Tawab tonight is the co-host and co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. A special thanks to her. And also special thanks to our beloved brother, Imam Dr. Abdul Shaheed, tonight as a guest on the MGM Roundtable. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.